Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
All right, well, we're in our series on the greatest commandment, and I can't think of anything that I'd rather talk about. Jesus's love for us and our love back for him as an offering. That's really what this series is all about. And so this is session 5, entitled Loving Him Because He Loves Us. And that's really the fuel point, the empowerment of the greatest commandment, is loving him because he first loved us. His love helps us to love him back. In fact, without his love, we would not have the ability to love him. Without him loving us first. Now, I want to kind of talk a little bit about the tumultuous relationship historically that God has with mankind. And I also want to talk a little bit about mankind's trust issue. We've all had those junior high relationships that didn't end well. And we've all had those love and lost moments over the years. And our culture has given us plenty of reason to be leery of love. And I just want to tell you that while man has a trust issue related to love, we don't know, is it going to be reciprocated? Is it going to be real? Is it going to be lasting? We have all these questions about love. We live in a culture. Oh my gosh, I saw the worst billboard. Oh my gosh, it was laughable, and it also broke my heart at the same time. It was a divorce attorney billboard, and it said, "Want to double your closet space? Call me." And I was like, oh, that is so dirty. That is so dirty. We live in a culture that has degraded marriage to the point where it's like, oh, you know, you don't have enough closet space because you're married. Let's get a divorce so you can double your closet space. I was like, that is evil. It was just so, but it also really paints a picture about how vulnerable love has become, how untrustworthy love is in this hour. And God met the trust issue of man's love head on. And he sent his son to deal with the problem. He sent his son to show forth his love in the most profound way. Look at this, 1 John 4:9-10. This is God dealing with man's trust issue. All right, let's look at it. 1 John 4:9-10. This is how God showed his love among us. Showed his love. You know, love has to be shown. It's not enough for it to be said. It's got to have backup. Backed up with action. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. He sent his son. This is how he showed his love. He sent his son into the world that we might live through him, that we might have real life through Jesus. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And that he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Not that we loved him. But remember, the greatest commandment is we're called to love him. But how do we get there? I mean, if that's the greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God with all, how do we get there? This is love. Not that we loved him. He loved us. He showed his love to us. He went out of his way. He took the greatest step in order to get us, to atone us. He sent his love to us in Christ. Now, I love this simple but profound truth. This is a really simple one. I love the way that Paul just kind of throws it in there, a little tongue in cheek. It should be 2 Corinthians, not 2 Chronicles, but 2 Corinthians 12:15 says this, I will very gladly spend for you everything I have and expend myself as well. If I love you more, will you love me less? It's just a really funny principle. But it's so simple and it's so real. Here's what Paul's saying. And he didn't get the idea from himself. He got it from God first. But here's the idea. If I love you like a lot, is your natural response going to be to hate me? Or is your natural response going to be to love me? But what if I love you even more? And then what if I love you even more? There's this principle that love is infectious. It's kind of like hate, honestly. But love is infectious. Love, it multiplies. Love, it gets in you. And so Paul says, I'm going to love you so well, you're going to have a really hard time not loving me back. This principle is glorious, and it's God-founded. God said more or less the same thing. Hey, wicked mankind. Hey, you dirty sinners. If I love you more, if I love you in a way you don't deserve, if I love you lavishly, if I love you, will you love me less? Will you respond to me in a lesser way? Will you respond to me illy? It's a bit of a gamble. And God said, you know what? For anybody who's going to take it, I'm going to do it. I am going to love you so lavishly with the anticipation that that love is going to touch your hearts and is going to give you the power to be able to love me back. And that's then where all this goes. 1 John 4:18 through 19, back into 1 John. 1 John 4, for there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. This is the power. This is how we can pull off the greatest commandment. It's because of this principle, if I love you more, will you love me less? This principle that he has so loved us, this principle that he has met mankind's trust issue related to love head on. And as a result of him loving us so lavishly, we now can love him back. We have power to love him back. And that power, it's a power that's internal. It's a power that's philosophical. I mean, just the thought. Well, hey, you were really nice to me. You did me a solid. You saved me from death and hell and the grave. You filled me with your spirit. You gave me life and joy. You gave me the ability now to live real life. If you love me more, well of course I want to love you back. We love him because he first loved us. We have been given power to do the greatest commandment because he first loved us. Oh, that is so powerful. When we understand that, when we get that picture, that we have been empowered to love him. So this greatest commandment thing, it's not like he didn't do his part. You know, it's not like he said, okay, I know you have no ability to do this and no desire and no understanding to do this, but your job, by golly, is to love me because I'm God. So you just will love me. You hear me? He so loved us. And because he loved us, we then have the power to be able to respond back with love. This is how it works. This is the only way it works. That's an audacious thing for God to ask. Love me. The only way we could do it is if he loved us first. And if we were then able to love him out of that love. All right, so we got it. We got it. It's clear. We have been given power to love him because he first loved us. Well, I think one of the ways that we grow in our ability to love him is we grow in our understanding of his love for us, as we grow in it. So not just an initial revelation, not just, okay, I got it. He so loved the world that he sent his son. Not just that we've heard it, but that we meditate on it. That we give ourselves to understanding his love, because to the degree we understand his love, to that probably that same measure is our ability to then love him back. So actually the way we do the greatest commandment is we meditate on how much he likes us. We think about his love, and that then fuels us to be able to love him back, which is the greatest commandment in life, is to love God. So if we want to be good at it, we need to be good at meditating on his love. I just want to look at his great love. I want to talk about his great love. Psalm 69:13, and then also Psalm 103:11. Talk about it. Psalm 69. But I pray to you, Lord, in the time of your favor, in your great love. Your great love. I love it. It's called his great love. Similarly, Psalm 103, verse 11, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Have you ever been in one of those moments? We don't often get caught up in the moment of the distance between the earth and the heavens. But sometimes you're out in a clearing, you're in the woods, you're on vacation and you're in the mountains, or you get kind of caught up in one of those awe-striking moments of like the vastness and the bigness of the sky and of the heavens and the littleness of the earth. And it's like, we're on this little speck of dust floating around in the universe. The highness, the bigness. He says that gap, that distance, that bigness, he says, that's how great his love is for those whom he's chosen, for his people, for those who love him. That's how great his love, his great love. That's a great love. We have stories in our culture. We think of, Romeo and Juliet and the cost and the sacrifice that was there for that love. We have, moments and things in our life that strike a chord of love and of tenderness. There is no greater love than his. His great love. I just want to encourage you, that term, God's great love, his great love, great love. You can shrink it up to great love. I want to encourage you to meditate on that. I want to encourage you to grow in revelation, to ask him questions. What does that mean? How great is your love? What does that look like? Your love for me? It's not just that he has it and that he keeps it in a jar somewhere. He has great love for you. His great love. I want to encourage you to get lost in that. Get caught up in the revelation of his great love. That this God has infinite capacities. I give you Song of Solomon 2:4. He's loud about his love. In fact, it says this, Song of Solomon 2:4. He's brought me to his banquet hall, and his banner over me is love. He's loudly proclaiming, you get a banner, you're trying to tell somebody something. I mean, that's a big old thing, waving in the wind. Banners are big flags, all right? And he's got a big old flag that says, I really, really like this gal. I really, really love this dude. His banner over you is love. It's like, Jesus, who are you showing these banners to? All the angels and the demons. So all the angels and the demons have to look at a giant banner that says love. Over me, yes. They have to see it. I am loud about it. My banner over you is love. I am proclaiming it. See, and if he proclaims it, we need to. We need to get loud in our understanding about the way that he sees us, that his banner over us, his primary thought. You know, you just think about if you've got anywhere, we used to do these expos in Kansas City where we go up and we recruit students. We still do them, but we had this giant banner. Oh my gosh, this thing was obnoxious. This banner, it was like, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to exaggerate, but it's probably from here to the end to the wall. I mean, it was enormous. It just a huge banner said the prayer room. And it was loud. And people come up to us all the time and be like, wow, that is a really, really big banner. And like, yeah, we were kind of going for that. We're from Texas. You know, we do everything bigger there. And had this really, really big. It was unmistakable. Anybody in the room would be like, what is that monstrosity over there? Oh, that's the Dallas group. It has Brad and he's loudmouth. There was this huge banner. It was so loud, you couldn't walk away from the table and not be marked by the fact of it because it was just so big and just obnoxious. This is how God is viewing us. This is how we need to be seeing the way he sees us. There's not a lot of things written on this banner. His banner over us is just love. Can you imagine how embarrassing this is? Okay, now think about this, all right? You're at like a giant, presentation hall or something, okay? And everybody's got their little booth set up or whatever, okay? And God has got his booth set up, and he's got you, and he's told you, you sit in that chair right there, that one. And there's this giant banner. It's red. It's got hearts all over it, and it says love. All right? It's huge. It's enormous. And he's got you seated right there, and no matter how squirmy you get, you want to try to get out of that chair. He's like, you sit right there, and you let everybody see it. And he's just standing behind you, smiling really big. And everybody's walking by like, what's all that about? I guess God really loves that person. I just got really, really, his banner over you is love. This is how he feels about you. This is important to understand because I think we process the way that God feels about us so much through whatever dumb thing we just did. And he's like, yeah, deal with the dumb thing, but that's not my banner over you. My banner over you doesn't say dumb thing recently done. Okay, my banner over you says love. My banner, the way that I'm thinking about you, my primary thoughts and feelings, it's a banner. I printed a banner. I went to FedEx, Kinko's, and made a banner. My banner over you doesn't say rejected or messed up or flawed. My banner over you says love. That's how I feel about you. I didn't buy you just to fix your issues. I bought you because I love you. My banner over you is love. Guys, this is tremendous when we think about the source. This would be tremendous if a five-year-old did it. If a five-year-old made a giant banner and then like forced it over you and walked around and paraded around, that would be pretty awesome. It's not a five-year-old, it's God. This is how God feels about you. Man, his banner over us is love. Psalm 17, verse 7 is another one of those meditation moments. This verse is just, it just keeps showing up in my life for different reasons. Psalm 17, verse 7, show me the wonders of your great love. Your great love, remember his great love, it's an established reality, we got it. God's love is great. The psalmist, David here goes, okay, show me. Make it real in my life. I want you, God, you're real. You have great love. Show me. Show me the wonders. Show me your work. Show me how you do it. I'm thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful that your banner over me is love. Prove it. Show me. Show me the wonders of your love. Guys, that is audacious. It's bold, and he loves it. I wonder if this might be one of his favorite prayers that David ever prayed. Show me. You love me? It's real? It's big? Show me. And make it wonderful. Show me the wonders of this love, the depths of it. Don't just give me little breadcrumbs off the table. I want to be banqueted in your love. I want you to lavish, I want you to show me. Guys, this is a prayer you want to be your prayer. Show me. If the way that I have power to love you, which is the greatest commandment, it's the thing you told us we had to do, you said it was most important. If the power to love you comes from my understanding of your love for me, if my ability to love you back comes from your love touching me, show me your love. Because the more you show me your love, the more I'm gonna feel power to love you back. So guys, you want this prayer. You want it to be one of your favorites. You want this to be one of the big ones. Show me the wonders of your love and let it transform me. Show me the wonders of your love and let me be exhilarated by it. Show me the wonders of your love that I might know your love, that I might know what you're like, that I can have some really cool stories with you, some really cool inside moments with you. Show me your love. Show it to me. It's not enough that you say it. I see it in the word. I'm grateful for it. Show me it. Guys, that's powerful, but this is how we love him. We love him because he first loved us. But that's not a one-time thing. That's again and again. It's fill us up. It's fuel us up so that we've got power today, this week, this season, this year, heading into whatever 2021 is going to be. That we've got power to love him. It comes from him. We love him because he loves us. So we got to know this love. We're to sing of it. Psalm 89, verse 1. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I'll make your faithfulness known through all generations. Sing it, proclaim it, talk about it. You know, part of the way that we grow in the love of God is it's got to be on our mind and on our lips. It can't be something that we've heard a sermon series on one time. This has got to be something that's part of our life. We got to sing it, proclaim it, talk about it, study it. We got to get it in us. We gotta be about it. I just imagine even the psalmists here and the benefit of the psalmist really telling all the other guys, hey, sing of his great love. And that way when you sing about it, I'll hear it and I'll go, oh yeah. And then my heart will come alive because you're singing it. Tell him his great love. Talk about his great love. And then I'll do the same. I'll sing it. I'll preach it. I'll talk about it. I'll share it with the kids. I'll share it in the family moments. I will sing about his great love. And then there'll be this culture of the great love of God being perpetuated, being carried through all generations, being told, the story of his great love told. Oh, his great love. Talk about it. You'll feel better. I feel better every time I preach about this. I walk away going, man, that was awesome. That was a good sermon, Brad. Well, why was it great? Well, because you just talk about God's love. You can't do wrong. This is great, man. This is just like awesome. I walk out of here feeling so filled up. His great love makes us great. His great love makes you something different. As you grow in his great love, the understanding of his great love, the receiving of his great love, it makes you awesome. It makes you better. It makes you stronger. It makes you great. Look at this verse in Psalm 18, verse 33. He makes my way perfect. He sets me on high places. You also have given me the shield of your salvation. Your gentleness has made me great. The gentle way that the Lord leads us, directs his love towards us. The gentle way that the Lord expresses his love. This great love felt. His touch of his love, it actually makes us great. It makes our ways perfect. It cleans up our mind. It sets our paths. It makes us great. The love of God, here it says, your gentleness. But can you just imagine God's gentleness somehow communicating something other than his love? It's like, what is that? What does the gentleness of God communicate? His love, his tenderness, his nearness, his devotion, his affections. Your nearness, tenderness, gentleness, devotion, and affections, it's made me awesome. It's made me likable. It's made me enjoyable. It's made me great. It's set things up in my life that weren't there before. It's established me. It's challenged me. It's challenged all the icky areas of my soul. Because I look at them and I'm like, that doesn't reflect what I'm getting. I'm getting sunshine and I'm reflecting darkness. I don't like that. It's making me great. His love makes us great. His great love makes us great. Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. That the greatness of God's love would have such profound power and impact on us if we'd receive it. How has his great love been aimed at us? See, that's a good question we want to meditate on. We want to understand. He loves us. This great love, it doesn't just exist in a vacuum in God's heart. It's actually a gun. And the gun is aimed at us. His great love, we are the objects of his affection. This great love, it's not just that he has it, it's that he has it for a purpose to aim at us, to direct it at us. This is terrific news. He has this great love. He's got all this pent-up love. And he wants to do something with it. He directs it at us. Look at this verse in Psalm 149, 3 through 5. Made music to the Lord with the timbrel and the harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people. Let the people rejoice. He takes delight. This God of infinite love takes delight in you. I want you to think about something in your life that could only be described as you take delight in it. Now, there's not a lot of things we take that level of like love, attention, affection, that we would actually say, whether we'd say it out loud or not, that I delighted that. I love that. Maybe it's something your kid does. Maybe it's some little craft where you really get to get your hands in there and you take delight in that thing, the intricacies of it. Maybe it's Christmas dinner. Oh, I do take me some delight in Christmas dinner. Oh, man. So at our house, growing up, my mom is Italian. And so it's always chicken and risotto for Christmas. If you've never had authentic cheesy rice from an Italian woman, you just haven't lived yet. And so it's this red sauce chicken, and we have to stir. Oh my gosh, it takes us all day. We're stirring this pot of rice, and there's a little bit of chicken broth water poured in there, and then some cheese, and we just stir it. We stir for hours. Christmas Day at my parents' house, it's stirring a bucket of rice until we finally get to eat it. And like, you can't use your right arm to eat it because it's all, so you got to use the left. Sometimes you stick your face in the plate and just eat it. I delight in that meal. Oh my gosh. It's so good. The flavor, it's just incredible. Every bite, oh, good job, Mom. She's like, what was your arm that sacrificed for the cause? I said, touche, touche. And so I delight in it. I want you to think about whatever it is that you delight in. I mean, it's epic. To you, it's special. It's awesome. It's important. And it's probably rare. It's probably not the moment that happens once a week. You know, if you delight in it, it's probably got a real special place in your life and in your schedule and in your heart. This is how he feels about you. And unlike you and I, because we become calloused by familiarity. We do something over and over and over, and it loses its specialness. It's terrifying. It's the worst, because the first time we ever did the thing, it was like, oh my gosh, but the thousandth time? Not so with God. He's not like us. We thought he was altogether like us. We were wrong. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He's not like us. That thing that he delights in, he could eat that risotto 12 times a day, every day of his life for the rest of eternity, and delight in the thing just like I do once a year. He delights in you. He delights in you. This is how he feels about you. Listen, you need this. You can't just let this go over your head. You need to understand this, because tomorrow when you wake up and you don't feel delighted in, you need to call your circumstances a liar. You need to say, he delights in me. When you don't feel like you've got the grace to do it, you go, no, my driving motivation isn't to do right for right's sake. It's he delights in me. You need this revelation. You need to know he delights in you so that in the middle of worship, you could sit there and go, he delights in me, and take it by faith and feel it and start smiling. So that when you do something terrible, dumb, right after, you go, oh, Lord, help me. I know you delight in me. Right now, in my failure, you still delight in me. You need this. You need the revelation that God delights in you, because you can't love him unless you understand how he feels about you. Because love doesn't come from you, it comes from him. And it doesn't come from how good of a day or how bad of a day you had. Or how many wise decisions you made, or how many dumb ones. And friends, we need to call our dumb ones, dumb ones. We don't want to change it. We don't want to go, oh, it's just kind. No, it's sin, dirty, bad. Don't do it. Quit it. But even when you do it, he delights in you. Delights in you. We need to understand this. He delights in us. And we love him because he loved us first. And as we grow in a revelation that he delights in us, we have power to say yes to him. We have more power to love him. We have more power to be lovable. We have more power. It's just, all the power in the world comes from Mr. Love. And the revelation that he delights in us, his great love is aimed at us. I can't believe the deal we get. It's obnoxious. It's ridiculous. It's going to the mall with a credit card with no spending limit on it, and it's not yours. You just go. Just go, man. I can't believe it. I can't believe the deal. His great love is aimed at us. Not secondarily, not like he really, really loves the angels, and then he kind of loves you too. He's got a little bit of love left over. His love is aimed at you. You were created in his image by him so he could love you. This is the reason for your existence. This makes the greatest commandment make so much sense. All he's doing is loving, 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 loving us. So then he's like, I really just give it back. Love me back with all that you can, and I'll continue to supply you with more love and more revelation of my love so that you can continue to love me back, because the greatest commandment is that you would love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I can't believe he thinks about us, that we're on his mind. You have one of those moments before where you hadn't heard from somebody in a long time, years, and they send you a text, hey, just thinking about you. It's kind of like the coolest thing. You know what I mean? You have a hard time not smiling no matter what terrible day you were having. Like, oh, I love that person. I haven't seen them in forever. What made them think about me today? Like, they see some ridiculous redhead and think, oh, it's kind of like Brad. Like, what caused them to think about me? I was on their mind. They thought thoughts, and their thoughts were me. That's awesome. We love to be thought about. Sometimes it's not a text. Sometimes it's a little gesture that makes it clear they were thinking, because they could lie to you and say, I wasn't thinking of you, but man, the gesture, it's proof in the pudding. It's like, man, I was thought of. Look at this. Psalm 40, verse 5. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders which you have done, and your thoughts towards us. There's no compare with you. Many are your wonders and your thoughts towards us. Your thoughts? God, with pure delight, is sitting around thinking. Think, think, think. And he's thinking of you. And he's happy about it. Many are his thoughts. Who can compare with you? Who is like you? Who has infinite emotional capacities? And they're all love. The foundation of all of it, even his judgments. His purpose is actually love and redemptive quality. All of his thoughts are love, and he's thinking of us. Do you ever think you're being thought of by God? I mean, have you ever stopped for a moment to think, God, what are you thinking about right now? You? Really? All that universe to run and such. And you're thinking about me? Yep. Well, what about right now? Still you. Many are my thoughts of you. Many. Beyond tracing out. Many are my thoughts. And my thoughts, with my banner over you, with my delight in you, this is our relationship with God. How could this get boring? This is ridiculous. I cannot believe this. All the people who ever won the lottery all got together and ran the lottery, and you won it the second time. This is the craziest thing ever. I cannot believe this is the way that God thinks about you, thinks about me. It kind of makes a bad day stupid. Like, I had a bad day. Who cares? Like, No, it was really bad. Did God stop loving you? Did he take down the banner or something? What happened? Oh, no, I got in a car accident. Well, I'm sorry about that, but his banner over you is love. What kind of bad day are we talking about here? Well, all of hell came against me. All of heaven is in you and for you forever. I mean, guys, we're not thinking clearly. We are really deceived. We think life is something completely else. We are living in the Matrix right now. We are living a total farce. His banner over us is love. He loves us. This is how he thinks and feels. This is life. Life is God's love for you and the journey of reciprocation. The journey of feeling it to then be able to return it. He directs his love to us. Psalm 42, verse 7. By day, the Lord directs his love. He directs his love. Just think about that. Like a river. He can change the direction of the river. Here it comes! Ah! His love got me. Ah! Lord, show me. Show me your love river. Direct it at me and let me feel it. You guys see that these can be some really powerful devotional prayer verses. Direct your love at me. Today it's Sunday the 20th or whatever. Direct your love at me, Sunday 20. Get me, God, today. Direct your love at me. Let me feel it. Show me the wonders of your love. He directs his love. That means it can be directed this way or this way. It can be directed at you. You can feel it. You can experience it. I'm going to skip a little bit. Man, this is just great. Verses about God's love, this could go on forever. It might. We might be doing this for a good long minute. I want to talk a little bit about how he loves us. I want to encourage you. We'll do a session on each one of these. But I just want to encourage you this way. He loves you with all of his mind. He loves you with all of his soul, with all of his heart, and with all of his strength, all of it. He asks you to love him back that way because he's already done it first to you. I want to encourage you, meditate on those. What does it look like for God to love me with all his mind? He's thinking about me. What does it look like for him to love me with all of his strength? He's directing love at me. He's doing wonders to show me his love. What does it look like for him to love me with all these capacities? It's inexhaustible. The impact, there's no end to this. To the impact of his love in our lives. This is the storyline of our life. This is the true story. The true story isn't you live at this address and you know, you're single or you're married or you're whatever. All of that is so secondary. That's not the story. The story is you're the object of God's affection. That's the story. Everything else is just some fringe work. It's part of the way, it's part of the palette, you know, that you're coloring it all in. But your life is actually that you are the object of his affections. And when we live that way, when we live tightly in the grip of his love, everything changes. Your perspective, your desires, your time, your attitude, everything, it just shifts. It shifts because you've got another mindset, and it's not a weird one. It's not an ethereal one. It's the real one. It's the real human mindset, the real one, the right one. I mean, how could it possibly be that mankind would have a mindset that is opposite of the one that God wanted, and that mindset is the real one? The only real one is the one that God wrote into the code book. When he designed the universe, he's like, this is what it's about. I love you. I want you to love me. This is the primary reality. And the more that we understand that, it changes everything. You are intimately known. You are intimately known. Deeply, intimately. He fully understands the human experience. He knows you. He knows about your day. He fully understands those issues, those problems, those weaknesses. He fully understands. He knows what's best for you. This one who is filled with love, he knows what's best. So many times, somebody just knowing what's best for us is like the sweetest expression of love. Just somebody just tell me what to do. I don't know what to do. Just tell me. He knows what's best. He knows the right answer because he knows you. See, he doesn't just know people. He knows you, Paul. He knows you. He knows you. And he knows what's best for you. And he likes you. You are intimately known by the Lord. I can't believe that. It's fine for somebody else, but how could it be true of me? How could it be that God knows me? That he intimately knows me? He does. He intimately knows you. Every thought, peace, mindset, precept, idea, he knows you. He knows you as an individual. He formed you. He made you. You're not defective. He made you that way. God doesn't make broken toys. He did not put you on the aisle of misfit toys. He made you that way. He likes you. Yeah, there's things he wants to strengthen, but that's the case for everybody. I mean, everybody needs to be strengthened. That's not the issue. He likes you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He knit you. I want you to think about that. Have you ever seen somebody knit? Tedious thing, isn't it? Man, I'm glad there are people that delight in knitting, because I look at it, I'm like, man, all I just want to do is stab myself in the eye with that thing. It's, oh my gosh, just make it stop. Make it stop. It's tedious. It's very, very careful and slow and meticulous. God knit you. So yeah, he knows you. He put the cells together. I went 2 cells, 4 cells, 4 cells, 8 cells, 8 cells, 16. No, you did not. God multiplied you. He could have done it anyhow he wanted. He did what he wanted. He put the things where he wanted. Your eyes are the distance apart because that's what he chose. He knit you. He knows you. So yeah, he knows your personality. He knows your guts. He knows your cellular structure. He knit you. He made you. He likes you. You are intimately known. You were made unique by him, for him. You are not an accident. I don't care what your parents tell you.
I don't care what my parents tell me.
I'm not an accident. God knit me. Okay, I understand the human dynamics, but that's not how I got here. God wanted me here. He knit me together. He made me for him. I was made for him so he could like somebody. Me. He created you to like you. Do you understand that? You were created to be liked by God and known by God. That's why you were created. No, I was created to be a carpenter. No, you weren't. The world can do without that. No, my gifts, believe me, friend, you ain't got it. It's okay. You're just like me. You were created to be liked by God. He made you to like you. You were on his creation list. He knit you together carefully and different from the person next to you, even your identical twin. He knit you different. He made you. He created you. He knows you. Intimately known by the one true living God. See, these truths, the more real they are to us instead of cute, when we can say them and the smile isn't sentiment, the smile is depth of revelation, it's a well. The more real these truths are to us, the more power we have to love him. See, the greatest commandment, it's a real deal. It's actually the plan. It's the God plan for the human race. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But the only way we can do that is to grow in the understanding. And I'm using the word understanding. It's really so much bigger than that. The feeling, the revelation, the theology, the meaning, the experience. We've got to grow in the full revelation of his love. Because as we do, we have power to give him what he wants. Our love back, but our love better than our love. His love, our love, his love. It's like 99% him, but we're a mirror and it hits us and goes back. You know, it's like the more that we have the clarity of his love for us, his delight, the way he sees us, the more that we can give him the purpose of life, the purpose for existence, the reason for life, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.